Yeah, breaking up.
Hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you so much, and welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Is the volume too loud? Let me see. Maybe it feels like the volume is too loud. Hold on with me, everybody. Let me see if I can. All right, that seems to be where it probably should be. If not, you guys, 347-857-1762. Welcome everybody to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I've been off for a few days. I haven't been on the radio because it's what? The holidays kept me off the air. Kept a lot of people away from their jobs, and it kept me away from my job. But it will not keep me away any longer. The show is back, WTTTY on Block Talk Radio, a great show. We have author, life coach, speaker, Betty Blue Hayes. She's going to be on the show. And just a few, so you guys stick around for that. And we're going to see what she has to tell us, okay, about something that's going to enrich your life, maybe enrich my life. I love having authors on the show because they tell so much about themselves and they tell so much about what they are into and what they are doing. So stick around for that. Author, life coach, speaker, Patty Blue Hayes. Somehow I love that name, especially with the blue in the middle, you know. It just sounds so interesting. All right, let's get right to it. Welcome to the show. I hope everybody had a great Christmas. I hope everybody had a great, happy new year. You know, I mean, I've seen, seen some things and people were celebrating. I'm pretty sure most people had a great, happy new year. And happy new year to everybody. And I wish all of you out there the best. All right, let's get this year rolling. Let's get this year rolling. And for this year, 2016, prior to 2015, I'm going to be on 4 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 4 days a week. And for the weekends, I'm going to be busy writing, okay? I got to have some time to write. And so that should be interesting. That should be interesting. No more weekend shows for me, only Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, starting at 6 p.m., and it could go from 7:30 to 8, depending on the format for that day. But anyway, we're going to be on for maybe an hour, 2 hours on this show, maybe three. Who knows? You know, depends on how the show does. And I want to thank everybody for downloading, podcasting the show, giving me positive feedback on the show. I mean, there's a lot of radio stations out there. I'm not just internet radios, but there's over-the-air radio, there's satellite radio, there's Sirius radio. So there's a lot of competition out there for me, just like there's a lot of competition for me being an author. You know, there's a lot of competition all over the place. So if you make it, you make it. If you don't, well, keep trying. That's my motto. All right. I'm broadcasting live out of Chicago, Illinois, and I'm going to talk about some things in the news until the speaker, Betty Blue Hayes, is finally on the show. And I hope you guys are listening. I hope you guys are podcasting and downloading. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Blog. Follow me right here. Follow all my writings, which are located on Amazon.com, George Wilder Jr. And it's a lot of stuff up there. Even I'm overwhelmed. Okay. All right. Broadcasting out of Chicago. As you know, the Bears lost. The Chicago Bears football team, they lost. And yesterday, Sunday, from today, which is Monday, if you're downloading this show or listening to it later into the week or whatever, you'll know. But it's still a good show. They lost, and their season is over. It was their last game. They lost, and they lost their 10-6. That's their record, 10-6. Last year, they lost the season at 5-11, but this year, they're a game ahead of themselves at 10-6. It's still in all, it's no way for them to think about making the playoffs. Don't even think about the Super Bowl for the Bears. You can forget it. And you know what? They lost. I mean, Jay Cutler threw two or three interceptions, penalties. You know, you got a lot of no-name players on the Bears. You know, you don't know who they are. But let me put it this way. Jay Cutler is a good quarterback. He just needs an offensive line. He needs for the receivers to catch the ball when he throws it. You know, but if they're playing a much better team, if they're being outplayed, then, you know, what else can you say? The Bears need to, they need to know how to pick better players. When I say pick better players, I'm talking about the ownership and the management. You got to pick better players. I think what the Bears are doing, they're trying to save money, especially with Matt Forte, because I'm hearing this may be his last go around with the Bears, and even he is saying this could be his last go around. They lost yesterday, so it might be. Even though I think Matt Forte and I think Jay Cutler are probably the two best players on the team. I think Langford is coming up, you know. So, but I'm just going by their record. 6-10. That's crazy. I mean, when Lovie Smith was coaching the team, when they fired him, the Bears had a better record, and this was about 2 or 3 years ago. The Bears fired him, and the Bears have not yet exceeded the victories that Lovie Smith had before they fired him. Then there was what? Mark Trussman? He was nothing of a coach. Then they got this guy, John Fox, and he's proving to be nothing of a coach. I'm looking at winning. That's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at winning. But they've lost for 2 or 3 years in a row. They've lost. And then if you listen to them now, they're sounding all positive and everything. How can you be positive? You just got your asses blew out. Something has to change. Something has to give. You know, it cannot be the same. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. This is not a sports show, but I'm in Chicago. I'm a Bears fan. So I have to sound off about these things. So I don't know what's going to happen. I think the Bears need to be, I don't know, somebody on the Bears is not doing something right. You got to give Jay the tools to win games. If you don't give him the tools, he can't do it. You know, he can't do it. And I think Jay's is, no matter his interceptions, he also had 2 touchdowns. You know, so Jay is productive. He's productive. But somehow the other teams just outshines the Bears. Okay, let's move on, move on, move on right along on the George Wilder Jr. Show. All righty, let's talk about some things in the news. Okay, what we got here? Engulfed. This is, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Stay with me, everybody. Donald Trump. Now, you've got Donald Trump in the lead on the conservative side of the aisle, along with Ted Cruz. On the Democratic side, you have Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. And Donald Trump just used his money to put out an ad that is wildly inaccurate. But, you know, as anything with Donald Trump, if it's inaccurate, he's going to try to talk over it, talk around it, pretend it's not there, and wonder why everybody else is so concerned. That's the way he does it. And somehow it pays off for Donald Trump. It pays off for this guy to just look the other way on something that's totally improper on his side of the aisle. You know, so let's see what they're talking about here. Oh, yeah, I want to mention one thing. Natalie Cole passed away over the weekend. Natalie Cole, the daughter of the great Nat King Cole. She passed away, and it's just awful. It seems like a lot of these people are just dying all over the place, especially famous people. One of the things I do know, famous people die all the time and every day. So does ordinary people, you know. But you don't hear too much about ordinary people dying. But you hear a whole lot about famous people when they die. And it just broke my heart when Natalie Cole, when she died. They're saying that she was on drugs, complications from drugs, cocaine, allegedly cocaine and other drugs that had riddled her body or something. I didn't think she was on drugs. She seemed like she was so nice and so clean and so sacred. But I guess you really, really don't know people. I guess you really don't know people. All right. Donald Trump's campaign doesn't care that his new ad is wildly inaccurate. Okay, let's see what it's saying. The real estate mogul's campaign said that using inaccurate footage in a TV ad is 1,000% on purpose. Was 1,000% on purpose. I bet it wasn't on purpose. I think they mistakenly put that inaccuracy in that commercial. The fact is that everybody saw that it was inaccurate is the reason why his campaign is now saying that it was on purpose. That's a damn lie. Donald Trump and his campaign, these people are liars through their noses. You know, if they find out that you're paying attention to something that they've done and they've done it wrongly and you call them out on it, they're going to automatically say, well, they didn't do it wrongly. They're going to spin it some way in their favor. That's what the Republicans do. That's what the Republicans do. They spin the nonsense, the craziness in their favor, and they get over with it. Their supporters just rave, you know. All right, on Monday, let me get this. Something's popping up on my screen here. On Monday, the campaign of real estate mogul, they call him a real estate mogul, Donald Trump, because he's a billionaire probably, released his first TV ad relying on heavy fear-mongering. That's all the Republicans do. They fear-monger. They try to make you scared. They want to scare you to death so they can get your vote. They figure if you're afraid enough, you're going to go to the booth and elect them. That's crazy. Fear-mongering against Muslims and immigrants, a common theme of Trump's candidacy. Not only a theme of Trump's candidacy, but a theme of the Republican Party is to scare damn death so we can go out there and vote for them. They're going to protect us all, right? These lying, low-down cowards are going to protect us, right? No, they're not. So this is a theme not of just Donald Trump's fear-mongering. Donald Trump said he wants to get rid of all Muslims and all immigrants from this country, and he's making no bones about it. Why would he change what he's saying? Why would he change that at all? This is why he is the front runner in some states. If he's not the front runner, he's not too far behind. You know, so he's just saying what the actual Republicans wants to say. He's saying what his party really, really believes. What his party really, really believes. He is a maniac. Donald Trump is a maniac, a blowhard. I mean, a bully. All of these things he tried to deny, say he's not. All right. But reporters and fact checkers soon noticed that the footage purported to be of an undocumented immigrant crossing the U.S. border was actually people in Morocco. People in Morocco. Campaign, its first television ad is full of inaccuracies. In other words, it's full of lies. Just tell it and say it like it is. It's nothing but lies. You know, so this is one presidential year that's going to be so interesting. Either Donald Trump is going to bust out as far as he can bust out, or he's going to fall flatly on his face, and this other crazy person named Ted Cruz is going to take the lead spot, the lead in the conservative run for the White House. But like I've said a billion times before, we want to keep these crazy people out of the White House. You're going to have to vote. We have to get out there and do our duty and vote. They're saying that white people are more angrier than white people. I mean, white people, excuse me, I'm sorry, I missaid that. White people are more angrier than black people. That means if white people and conservatives and Republicans are more angrier than progressives and liberals, they're going to go to the polls and take it out on everybody at the polls. So if they're more angrier, more meaner, more vile than progressives and liberals, they're going to get out there and vote because they want to change things. And liberals are going to stay home and progressives are going to stay home and bitch and lose and not vote. The worst thing that you can do, people out there, if you're listening, podcasting, downloading, whichever, the worst thing you can do is not vote. Because I've said this many times. When you do not vote, that's a vote for a Republican. Don't think because you're not voting, I'm not going to vote. They're all liars. They're no good. They can't trust them. They want your vote. They lie. They're corrupt. Yes, they are. Some of them are. Not all of them, most of them. Regardless, we have to get out here and vote. We got to be just as angry as the conservatives are. We got to be just as angry as the white men and white women are. We got to be, you know, and I'm not using color here. You know, I'm not using color. I'm not being racist. I'm just saying when people are angry, pissed off and upset, they are going to go to the polls in droves. If people don't care, people are saying that the politicians are thugs and thieves and corrupt and you can't trust them, that's true. But you still have to go to the polls. And we always talking about people, if they do vote, they vote against their interests. A lot of people going out here voting for Republicans and they're on Social Security. They're getting they're on a fixed income. They're getting entitlement programs. Why would you do vote for a Republican if you're getting those things? Because the Republicans, what? They are conservatives. Conservatives means to conserve. That means if you're getting it, to take it away from you. So you find your best way of doing those things without getting those entitlement programs and cutting Social Security, pensions, and all of this kind of stuff. So many people vote against their own interest. I mean, there's people now in Illinois who voted for Bruce Rauner. They want their vote back, but it's too late. The only way you're going to get Rauner out of here is he's going to have to commit murder. Close to it anyway. As long as he follows the Constitution, the Illinois Constitution, he's in for the duration until his term ends. But there's recall on the ballot for Rauner, and I don't understand why people in Illinois, they're not using those recalls. They're talking about recalling Mary Emanuel. Hey, you got to recall this also. So many people are just too damn lazy. You want to make changes in this country, you got to get up off your ass. You cannot sit down on the couch, watch TV, hoping somebody else do it for you. You got to do it for yourself. You want to make changes, out there and be active. Get out there and be about it. Get other people involved. Don't just sit around in a chair. Oh, man, somebody got to get after them. Somebody got to get after them? Why don't you get after them? You know, it's a lot of good people out here already that are doing their due diligence of trying to turn this state around, trying to turn this country around. But you cannot do that with just a few people out there protesting. You got to be out there in the hundreds, in the thousands. A few people in a rally is not going to get anything done. You'd be heart shaking just to get a little bit of media attention. People got to fight. People have to get up off their rear ends. And the only way we can change this country is without vote. Don't ever feel like you can't do it. Don't ever feel like you're helpless. You're not helpless. You can change things in this country. You don't have to sit back and take it. Get up off your rear, grab your friends, your family, and get out and start to change things back to the way it was. The Republicans are. They're nasty. They're evil. They're liars. They're haters. They don't care. But one thing they do good, they win. They win. Because you are not like that. Get pissed off. Get mad. Get angry. And vote. And watch this country change. Watch it change. You have to do something. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Thank you so much. All right, President Obama said he's going to he has talked about this so much and so many times about using his executive authority to change some of the gun laws in this country. Right now, for me, it's just talk. But it sounds like something could be done. He's talking about changing some of the gun laws in this country, which I totally agree with. I just wish he would do it and stop talking. He's been talking about this for years, and he's still talking about it. Now he's talking about it again for 2016. It's great. It's wonderful if he can do something. But so far, it's been just talk, and it's still talk until he actually does something. And now that he's talking about doing something on gun control, the Republicans are off. They are nailing Barack Obama. They are calling him every name in the book, saying he's not a dictator, he's not a king. I mean, the Republicans are just ridiculous. I mean, put it that way. These people are just damn ridiculous. All over the place, they're talking about him. He's overstepping his power. He's overstepping his executive authority powers. You know, he thinks he's a dictator. He thinks he's a king. He's abusing his presidential office. This is nonsense. This is crazy. This is them. This is the Republicans trying to scare Barack Obama. They're trying to scare him to death. And I hope he's not afraid of these guys. They're just blowhards and bullies and liars, spinners. This is what they are. If he wants to do something on gun control using his executive power, he is within the law. He can do it. The next president comes in behind him can just erase his signature, and the law is not there anymore. But to see the Republicans like Chris Christie and a lot of other than Fox News want Barack Obama to take it through Congress. Why would he go to Congress when Congress is not going to give him that authority on gun control? Why would he? But they say go to Congress anyway. What the hell? This is an obstruction. It's an obstructed Congress. They're not going to give him anything. He's best off on using his executive authority to get something done about these people getting guns. But the Republicans out there, I mean, they are going nuts over this. Obama, he thinks he's the king. Obama, he thinks he's a dictator. This is crazy. Obama does not think he's a king. Obama does not think he's a dictator. Obama thinks he's the president of the United States. And a lot of these Republicans are just way over the top with this. It's clearly that they are trying to Obama, the president of the United States, scare him into oblivion, scare the American people. That's all the Republicans are about. They are about fear. They think they're going to win the White House and win some seats in Congress and elsewhere on fear, scaring the daylights out of you. And so many Americans are falling for this. They are falling for this. You know why? The proof is where the proof is because so many Americans are buying guns. When Americans are afraid, they go out and buy guns. And they buy guns in the droves. And they go out and they kill people. Some people don't know anything about buying a gun, don't know how to shoot it or what to do with it, and they wind up shooting themselves or shooting someone in their family accidentally. Or somebody get pissed off in the family, get mad, get upset, take out the gun, pow. We need comprehensive gun control in this country. I know it's a lot of gun lovers out there. I own guns also. I'm not advocating taking away anybody's gun. The only thing that I'm saying, and a lot of other liberal talk show hosts are saying, and I'm not a liberal, is that we're trying to keep the guns out of the hands of the crazy people. The Republicans will have you believe that mentally ill, the mentally ill is the reason why people kill other people. But it's a lot of people out there who are not mentally ill that shoot up schools, churches, malls, you name it, football stadiums, baseball stadiums. It's all, you almost theaters, movie houses, train stations. I mean, you have it everywhere. And the Republicans, all they do is scare you. When they talk, Chris Christie, he talks like the world is going to blow up tomorrow if you don't carry your gun. The terrorists are already here. Yeah, they are. They are. I mean, I've said this before on some of the previous shows. You don't know. You really don't know who's carrying a gun and who's not carrying a gun. When you're out here in the public, you don't know. You don't know. You don't know if you piss somebody off, they might pull out their gun and blow you away. You know, people have short tempers nowadays. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with me. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for podcasting. I will be right back. Stay with me.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on LinkedIn. I'm all over the place, if I can say it, place. Follow my writings on Amazon.com. And I want to say again to everybody out there who's listening and who will podcast the show, who will download the show and listen to this great, great host. Happy New Year 2016. I can't stop saying that because this is going to be a wonderful year, and I hope everybody get whatever they want in 2016. I hope I do. And I mean, any resolutions that you might keep or not keep or whatever, let's just hope 2016 is a wonderful year. This is January 4th, only 4 days into the weekend, I mean, into the new year. And it feels good. I feel positive. I feel like a lot of great things are going to be happening, at least for me, I hope, for you too. And I hope you guys, like I just said at the beginning of the show, I hope you guys had a great, great, great holiday, Christmas. I know some of the kids are still out of school, and that's good for them, but not too good for parents. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. reporting on Block Talk Radio, Internet Radio. Great, I'm happy to be here. Like I said before, I'm going to be on 4 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, starting at 6 a.m., or p.m., if I can get this right. I'm still getting over the New Year's. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. All righty. All right, you're on the air. Caller.
Oh, hi, George. It's Patty Blue Hayes.
Patty. All righty. Okay, I knew it. I got your information right in front of me. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Patty Blue Hayes, renowned author, heartbreak recovery life coach, and speaker. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. How's it going?
It's going wonderfully. Thank you so much. You know, you have such a wonderful tone to your voice.
Thank you so much.
It's a very positive, upbeat sounding voice.
You know, I think you have to have something like that because when people are listening to you, they don't want to listen to somebody who's boring or drab or anything like that.
Right.
So you have to. Sometimes I have to. Some days I come on, I can sound my best. I may be sounding my best, but feeling my worst. And I know I have to, you know, do something.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So you're helping others to heal from heartbreak, huh?
Yes. And I came across that purpose and path from what I consider the dark night of the soul. It was an abrupt end to my marriage, and I was feeling completely lost and broken. We'd been together for 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
My low self-esteem and my low self-worth and value really contributed to, I think, just how devastating I felt from that loss and the loss of his family as well. I kind of considered them to be my family because my own family was very small. My parents had both passed, and you know, I just loved being embraced by his large family and cousins and uncles and aunts and nieces and nephews. And it was very traumatic. But, you know, funny enough, sometimes that pain can lead to your purpose in life. A lot of people that have helping avocations often share a story of something similar. You know, it was their own experience that then led them to want to help others.
Yeah.
I think that's
human
nature. We want to help from what we've learned.
Right, right. Yeah, that's true. I mean, because even though I'm a writer, I've had several books on Amazon, just about everything that I write comes from some sort of experience that I've had. Even if I fictionalize it, it still has some sort of, because you cannot really write about something you don't know, that you have not experienced, you know. So when you say something like, my heart is broken, now what? That's a book, isn't it?
Yeah.
My heart is broken, now what?
Mm-hmm. That's the second book that I wrote.
Yeah, it says that, yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, compiling 12 practices that I thought were the most helpful and effective to get me through that heartbreak. Now, I picked those up on a very bumpy path. I mean, I was doing, like, the healing cha-cha.
Okay, let's go back a bit to tell the audience, in case someone doesn't know, what is exactly a heartbreak?
Oh, people know what that is, that ache in the heart.
Yeah, I know, but.
I know. The grief. And
I know. I definitely know.
It's interesting how heartbreak can occur over anything, really, in any type of relationship. You know, there's friendships that end. There's job situations. There's, you know, the empty nest. The kids have, you know, grown and gone off on their own way. Loss of health and ability.
Yeah, yeah, it's a heartbreak.
So there's all.
And how does one recover?
Well, I have come to find that healing from heartbreak is something that we can actually set a goal like anything else. Because if we're left just floundering around with no plan of action, we're going to be left floundering around with no direction. There's no goal. There's no, you know, determined and intentional path. So I think that would have helped me, possibly, not, you know, engaged maybe in all the just crazy stuff that I was doing to numb the pain. If I had some experience or knowledge about the importance of feeling emotions, expressing them, and releasing them, I mean, I probably would have been doing that 24/7, but you know, it was something I didn't know at the time. So I really think intentional healing is very important. Time, certainly. And everybody is on their own path to heal. It's interesting how, you know, people will just say, oh, get over it, or you'll meet somebody new, or, well, you were too good for them anyway. And those things don't make someone feel better about their loss. They're in, you know, deep, deep grief. And it's a process to unravel and unwind. And, you know, certainly being, like, gentle with yourself and compassionate and kind toward yourself is a very important practice as well. It's entering into the cocoon, you know?
Yeah. Why do you think women stay in abusive relationships?
Low self-worth. That's what I think would be one of the top reasons for that. Very low self-worth and lack of boundaries. You know, devaluing themselves. Maybe not feeling like they have choices or options. Maybe struggling to figure out what those things are.
Do you think fear plays into it?
Definitely.
They may be afraid to leave because the guy maybe threatened their lives or something.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you know, for pretty extreme domestic violence, women are terrified of that.
Do you think something like this can play into recovering from a heartbreak or something? Do you think that's kind of in there with abusive relationships, or is that separate?
Well, I think there's, you know, a certain degree of trauma and post-traumatic stress that women go through when they are in. Well, there's, you know, trauma when they're in an abusive relationship, very, very high stress levels, and they're probably living in a state of constant fear. And then after, you know, if you get out of that relationship, it takes a while to unwind and see that, you know, it was not caused by your behavior. You don't deserve the abuse that, you know, was inflicted. And many women don't see that when they're in it. You know, it's like people who are in a cult and then they get out and they say, oh my gosh, you know, thank God I got out of that. You know, we often just don't see that when we're in a situation. And I certainly had lost track of what reality was the last couple of years in my marriage. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to see the reality. I kept thinking, we're going to get back to the way we were. You know, he promised. It's just stress at work.
Yeah.
And, you know, or then I also believed that, you know, I wasn't doing the things that, you know, he said I wasn't doing. I should have been able to, you know, clean the house better and, you know, admire him more and respect him more and listen to him.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I overheard a conversation one day as I was just merely walking down the street with these two girls. They were talking, but they were talking loudly. So you couldn't help but to overhear what one of them said. And as I was walking by, she said that if her boyfriend or if her husband did not abuse her, that meant that he did not love her.
Mm.
I thought that was crazy. I said, "This, where is she from?" You know, I mean, and this is true. This is true. And she was a young girl. I don't know. I just kept going, but I never forgot that.
You know, if you think
and
about
what
what if he'd been telling her? You know, because after the abuse, you know, I'm sure a typical scenario, there's a lot of apologies affection and maybe gift giving. And so there's this, you know, cycle that maybe she felt, you know, well, this is attention. And, you know, he's showing me that he loves me because I make him so mad that he loses control, but he really loves me because he apologizes after and, you know, he's kind to me.
So you're saying it's possible?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's that negative conditioning. And it's extremely sad. But I think
it is sad.
That, it's tragic, really.
Because when I think of somebody being abused, I mean, this guy or whoever who is abusing this young lady and he keeps abusing her constantly, one day he's going to end her life if something isn't done, if someone doesn't intervene. Because, I mean, abuse just it gets worse. It doesn't get better. It gets worse, I think, anyway.
Yeah, I think that many psychologists and psychiatrists would agree that it does get worse. I don't know statistically, but I can imagine that it does. And that cycle of abuse, I think, is really what's very cunning and what keeps women thinking, or men. I mean, actually, men have been at the hands of abuse of women, and that's actually very challenging and difficult for them to ask for help.
It sure is.
They feel like, I'm a man. I'm not supposed to, you know, feel like a victim here in my relationship. And women who are physically aggressive and violent toward their male partners, a man is not going to hit the woman back in self-defense because, you know, what's going to happen if the police are called, he's going to get carted off to jail.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter if he claims that it's self-defense. They're not gonna listen to that.
Right. And in some cases, the woman might try to set him up to strike her, so she can call the police.
Yes.
And the police is definitely gonna take her word against his.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the things that are the root causes of both, you know, the aggressor, the person with the anger issue, and then the victim and the one with the low self-esteem is not loving themselves.
Yeah.
You know, if we loved ourselves, we would find peace. We would find strength.
Yeah.
We couldn't find that anger within to hurt somebody else, and we certainly wouldn't allow someone to treat us poorly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the way we treat ourselves is the way we are going to see ourselves be treated by other people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, are you completely over the emotional pain of your relationship, your initial breakup? Are you, your marriage, are you over that? Have you recovered?
I don't think you get completely over it, but
okay.
the pain has, it's definitely not as intense and mm-hmm. all-consuming, although the holidays typically for me have been very challenging. You know, that was the time that we were all together with his family and mm-hmm. connected and having that kind of idyllic Christmas time that I was so fond of. So different things can bring up different memories at different times. I could be walking mm-hmm. down the aisle looking at greeting cards, and I might glance upon, you know, the anniversary cards to my husband, and that might just grip me a little bit, you know. And now I'm more aware of my feelings, and I know the different tools and techniques to deal with them instead of, you know, numbing them, avoiding them, and denying them. And that's what I wrote about in the first book, which is Wine, Sex, and Suicide, My Near-Death Divorce. I was consumed with pain and just didn't know how to deal with it. And
okay.
I wanted to heal and get better. I wanted to recover and be like one of the women on a magazine that, you know, has her fist up in the
yeah.
air and is like, I started over. I have a new life. I'm awesome and amazing.
Patty, do you have an excerpt? Do you have an excerpt of your book? You'd like to read it?
From the Wine, Sex, and Suicide book?
It's up to you. What do you want to do?
Well, that's the one I have in front of me. The
okay.
other one is on Kindle. It's, you know, obviously out of context because I'm just picking from page 120.
Okay.
And I'll preface, this is after I got back from volunteering at an orphanage in Romania. I did that for the first Christmas that I was by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what to do without, you know, going back home with, you know, my family. So I exiled myself to Romania. So this is from Thursday, January 6th.
Okay.
Today is a low day, and so was yesterday. The dining table is full of paperwork. The sink is full of dishes. The house is dirty, and there's no reason to clean it. Food shopping tonight was depressing, and I hate looking at those just-for-one packages. I felt like the package pointed me out as a pathetic loser who had no one to eat with. The swirly font and bright colors didn't fool me. In the late afternoon as I left the YMCA, I heard children's voices calling out from the outdoor playground and thought I heard a familiar Patty as I heard from the kids at the St. Francis House in Romania. I miss that time when I escaped to the snow-capped mountains, far away from my loss and where I had a simple purpose and felt needed, wanted, and appreciated. The thought of my life being like this is so utterly depressing. There is deadening silence in the house. My heart feels hollow, and I feel like the shell of the person I used to be. I had a purpose. I had Mark, a family, relationships, plans for the future, and dreams. Now, it's just a barren landscape. I hate sleeping alone, but I also hate bringing these young guys home as a way to make me feel better. They do temporarily, but then I'm left alone again with my thoughts. I wish I could just take something to numb this pain. I feel so wounded, so broken. Do you want me to
that's beautiful.
Continue?
No, that's beautiful. It's wonderful. I'm going to cry in a minute.
No, I know.
Believe me, Patty, it was beautiful. I loved it. I'm pretty sure the people who are listening to the show and who's going to download and podcast the show and you know, and just archive the show, they're going to love it too. Believe me. That was beautiful. Where can we find your books? I mean, where can we find your books? Because I'm going to definitely...
Well, like your books, mine are on Amazon.com.
Okay.
And my paper book is also available at Barnes & Noble online and Kindle, you know, the Kindle version for both My Heart is Broken, Now What book. My Heart is Broken, Now What is only on a Kindle. And the other one is Kindle and print.
Wine, and Suicide.
So, Wine, Sex, and Suicide, My Near-Death Divorce.
Yes, yes.
I had intended on writing a book about doing a year of volunteer service projects as a means of healing my broken heart. So I did all these volunteer projects that were wonderful. I helped prepare meals.
So you're saying basically if you're trying to heal a broken heart or you're trying to get over a heartbreak or heartache, get into something that's going to make you forget about all those things.
No.
That was blunt.
Well, not make you forget about those things. That's actually...
It makes you take your mind off her.
A little, You want to do something where you're feeling of value and purposeful and that will connect you with other people.
Not necessarily to forget.
Yeah, I don't think it's healthy to forget. The forgetting is when the forgetting is when we go toward the drinking, the sex, the drugs, the rock and roll, the gambling, the shopping, the overworking. No, it's really important to honor your feelings and to address them. I mean, certainly, I know what you meant, like to take your mind off things. But I do want to make that clear point that, if somebody is facing a challenge, a heartbreak, a disappointment, loss or grief, not to deny those feelings. And we know when we're kind of, using a substance or an activity to numb that pain. It gives us temporary relief, but then, when that high wears off, we're left with that pain again. So until we address it, it's always going to be there.
Okay, give us your website.
It is pattybluehaze.com. It's Patty with a Y, blue like the color.
I love that blue. Blue is my favorite color.
Thank you. Yeah, it's my favorite color, too.
All right, ladies and go ahead.
Oh, no, that's it.
Okay, is there anything you would like to say that you haven't said?
One of the things I like to say is just for people, if they're going through something, to be patient with themselves. Mm-hmm. And, think that the seed does not become a blossom overnight. And you've really just got to be patient going through the different seasons of heartbreak. So for anyone who's listening and might be going through something. And I'm more than happy to connect with anyone who might be facing a challenge, especially a breakup or divorce.
Patty, this show will be archived, this show will be recorded, this show will be saved. Once this show is over and in about 2 or 3 hours, maybe tomorrow, I can send you the link to the show and you can put it on your website.
That would be wonderful, and it's really nice connecting with you.
You can put it on your website and have your fans, your friends, your family, listen to you and your great advice on heartbreak, because I don't know anyone that hasn't had a heartache or a heartbreak. I think we all have it at one time or another. And I guess we need people like you, author, life coach, speaker, Patty Blue Hayes on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thanks, Patty, for being on the show.
Thank you so much, George.
No problem. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, that was Patty Blue Hayes on the George Wilder Jr. Show, author, life coach, speaker. and all around renowned phenomenon on the George Wilder Jr. Show. I will be right back. Thank you. Stay there. If we can find a clip, can we get a clip going? I think we can. We will be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting out of Chicago. Thanks to my wonderful, wonderful guest, life coach, speaker, all around good person, Patty Blue Hayes, on the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on LinkedIn. Follow me on Amazon. I'm all over the damn place. Just follow me. Okay, let's see what else we can get into. All right. Okay. Let's see what else we got here. What else? Pardon me. All right. She was great. Okay, we talked about 2016, didn't we? We got to find something else. Okay. All right, the feds are cracking down on social media, Twitter, Facebook. They're cracking down because they're cracking down on what you post. If you're posting something vulgar, more likely if you're posting something that's going to harm somebody, you're making threats. They're watching out for that. So if you're on Facebook, Twitter, whatever you post is being monitored. Believe me. If you're posting something stupid, then you don't have no worries, you know. But if you're posting something that's going to hurt somebody or something or harm somebody, they're going to be knocking at your door. So, and Fox News can't stand it. They can't stand anything that's good for America, anything that's right for America. Fox News and the stupid Republicans, the Republican Party, they just cannot stand it. They yell, they scream, they bitch, but they win. Fox News is the highest rating news show in the history of America. And yet, the majority of Americans, 80% of Americans, they probably know that Fox News is nothing but a bunch of lies. So if Fox News keep getting these large ratings, they're going to keep lying because, hey, wow, we got these ratings because we're liars and people like to hear lies. So they tune into Fox News. They don't tune into MSNBC because they know if they tune into NBC, they're going to hear the truth. People don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear lies. So they go to Fox News. And Fox, the ratings go up. And like I just got through saying, in order for Democrats to take the White House next year, you're going to have to get pissed off. You're going to have to be mad. You're going to have to get mad out there and vote. But one of the reasons why so many people are not voting or don't want to vote because they don't trust politicians. It's not because they don't, they're lazy or they're bums or they just don't want to do it. They just don't trust politicians, and I can't blame them. But you're going to have to get out there and vote. You're going to have to vet these guys and put somebody in office if you want to change the way things are going, because things just goes from bad to worse. They just go from bad to worse. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, and I have some sad news to offer to say. Chicago is now... This is sad, at least on my side of the aisle is sad, because I live in Chicago. All right, Chicago is now the number one murder nation city, well, I should say probably city, in the nation. We've passed Los Angeles. We have passed New York for being the number one with the most murders, killings, shootings, Chicago. Now, that's horrible. That's terrible. And the only people, if this is true, which I don't give it too much credence, but it's possible, politicians are to blame. Covering up, letting bad cops get off. Every time you look around, there's somebody, some family is suing the Chicago cops for a wrongful shooting. I mean, and cops, if you go back 10, 20 years, cops in Chicago, police in Chicago have been gunning down black people, black men, black teenagers in droves and getting away with it until now. The chickens have come home to roost. They have been getting away with this. And now we're the number one city in the nation with murders and killings and shootings. We're number one. That is not a label I'm proud of, or a statistic that I'm proud of, or should be proud of. Any Chicagoan should not be proud of that. The gangbangers, the thugs, the murderers. And another thing that's so saddening, when you look at all the jails and the prisons and the incarcerations, when you look at all of these things and what stares back at you in your face is that institutions are filled with nothing but African Americans, basically, percentage wise, young African Americans. It's sad. It's sad that black people, I don't know, put themselves in a situation where they have to wind up in jail or wind up dead. It's really, really sad. And for Chicago to be the worst city for murders in the nation, that is not a good distinction at all. I blame politicians, like, you know, politicians that go way back past Mayor Rahm Emanuel, even though he can get some blame too, because he's covered up a lot of this shit, so he can get some blame too. So there's no doubt about that. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Pick up my book, my e-book, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man Returns. It's a pretty good piece. I had fun writing it. And like I said before, we're trying to figure out what we're going to do about some of these killings in Chicago. We can get the best superintendent there is. They may not be able to solve some of these crimes. Mary Rahm Emanuel is in so much deep trouble, it's a shame. They're doing a federal investigation. A federal investigation is going on in this city right now. Rahm Emanuel may come out of it as someone who's covering up, who could have covered up a crime. All right, we'll be right back. Stay with me. You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. All right, we're back. I am in the beautiful city of Chicago, but we have our faults. We have our troubles. We have our labels that they give us. Chirac. You know, I don't know. I don't like the movie. I don't like the title because, you know, there are certain parts of the city that crime happens in. Yeah, there's shooting, there's murdering, there. I mean, we've had another bloody weekend here. But there's certain parts of the city that these things happen in. The entire city is not a murder capital. The south and west sides of the city and further on in those areas are the most crime-ridden areas. The north side is not as crime written as the north, as the south and west sides of the city. The north side, the crime is everywhere. But I'm just trying to say the entire city of Chicago is not a bed of crime, okay? It's not a bed of crime. But I do know, and you can probably argue, crime happens everywhere. It doesn't matter if it's on the west side, south side, east side, north side. It's all over the place. But certain areas, crime is really, really rampant, especially in the poor segments of society. They're jobless. They're uneducated. They're clueless. They're weak-minded. You know, they're on food stamps. They're getting welfare, but I know this is probably unfair for me to say. I'm just trying to make a distinction between certain areas of Chicago and others. The poor areas basically have the more crime, because you have the uneducated, you have the stupid, the crazies, the murderers, you know, so that's why I say the entire city is not a bed of crime, but crime could happen in any part of the city at any time to anyone. But statistically speaking, the north side has fewer crime, less crime than the west and south sides of the city. Now, I'm not saying something could happen on the north side as I speak. But statistically, even by the city standards, that's those statistics, if I can say it, statistics stand. So I don't think it's fair to label the city Chirac as if we have more murders and killings in the country of Iraq of the Middle East. We're not Muslims. Not saying anything negative about Muslims, okay? But I don't like Chicago being the number one murder capital city in the nation. But this is what they're talking about. And I can understand it. We've got police officers shooting and gunning down black people for just because they want to shoot. We've got rogue politicians who do nothing. But still in all, there's rogue politicians. We have to still get out here and vote. We got to put that vote together. We got to do that. Because if we don't do that, you know, we can't change anything. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. And I'm having a blast. I am having a total blast. Thank you. I am really having a blast.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening and stay with me.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
I'm also just now being told we know Hillary Clinton is in Iowa, cutting her vacation short. She's back out on the trail. She also now has apparently just spoken about what happened in Roanoke. Let's take a listen to Hillary Clinton.
First of all, I was so just stricken to think that these two young people doing the work that you guys do every single day would be murdered on live television. But I will also reiterate, we have got to do something about gun violence in America. And I will take it on. There are many people who face it and know it, but then turn away because it's hard. It's a very political, difficult issue in America. But I believe we are smart enough, we are compassionate enough to figure out how to balance the legitimate Second Amendment rights with preventive measures and control measures so that whatever motivated this murderer who eventually took his own life, we will not see more deaths, needless, senseless deaths. So, yes, I feel just great heartache at what happened, and I want to reiterate how important it is we not let yet another terrible instance go by without trying to do something more to prevent this incredible killing that is stalking our country. And we've had so many terrible instances of it in the last 2 years, but it happens every day. Intentional, unintentional, murder, suicide, it happens every day. And there is so much evidence that if guns were not so readily available, if we had universal background checks, if we could just put some time out between the person who's upset because he got fired or the domestic abuse or whatever other motivation may be working on someone who does this, that maybe we could prevent this kind of carnage. So I hope that in addition to expressing sympathy for those directly affected, that this is maybe for the media, for the public, for elected officials, for every American, what it hopefully will finally take for us to act. Thanks.
Are you wearing a color?
All right, that was Hillary Clinton.
You guys tell me where we're going to break.
Okay.
I'm the leading state sponsor of terrorism.
Obama's executive actions on gun control may not do much, but at least he's doing more than Congress. Okay, like I said before, early on into the show, that Obama is thinking about using his executive authority or going to use it sometime during the first week of January of 2016. The White House can't say how much of a difference the new guidelines will make. My point here, if Obama's going to use his executive authority, use his powers, use that authority to make a difference with guns. If he can't make a difference with his executive authority, if it can't do nothing about guns, why do it? Why use it? It's a waste of time. If you're going to use your executive powers, use your executive powers to do something to curb gun violence in America. Excuse me. Or don't use it, because it's a waste of time. But it's nice that he's going to try and do something. But if he's going to do something, make sure that whatever he does on gun control, that it makes a difference, that it changes something in the culture of who can get their hands on a gun, because everybody cannot, you know, there's a lot of people out here right now owning guns that shouldn't have them. They shouldn't have them. I don't care if some of these people are owning these guns legally, they shouldn't have them, because a lot of these people, they've got tempers, you know, they got fast tempers. Some are mentally unstable. They shouldn't have them, but they do. Okay, on the first working week of his last calendar year in the office, this is Obama, President Obama will defy Congress. He should have done that a long time ago. Defy these people. He should have done that. He should have done that years ago. years ago. I mean, during his last year in office, he's thinking about defying Congress. And then he's thinking about defying him with an executive order that probably won't do anything. That doesn't make any sense. And pursue long stalled gun control methods through executive action. The administration unveiled on Monday a series of proposals designed to shore up holes in the federal background check system for gun purchases, devote millions of additional dollars to mental health services. Rauner in this state of Illinois has shut down so many mental health centers, it's a shame. So has Rahm Emanuel. So how can he give money to these mental health clinics when most of them are no more? Even before the proposals were unveiled, they were denounced by Republicans as inherently unconstitutional, foreshadowing what will likely be a contentious legal battle. The Republicans, like I was just saying earlier into the show, they don't want to see Obama prevail at anything. They're trying to scare him, bluff him, bully him out of not doing using his executive authority, and it seemed like it's working. It seems like it's working because Obama's saying that whatever he does with his executive action, that it may not work. So it seems to be working. I knew it. I knew Obama was nothing but talk. But there are so many people out there who love Obama. They think he's the greatest president that ever walked. They're even talking about putting his face on Mount Rushmore. I think that's a bit much, but from my understanding, I don't think that should be, because a lot of African Americans are saying Obama has done nothing for them. A lot of African Americans are saying that they are worse off than ever since Obama's been president, and this is totally his last year. 2016 is totally his last year in office. You know, so This is why I'm saying this is 2016. November of 2016, we all have to vote. We didn't vote in 2014. That's why we got a lot of these Republicans. We did not vote. You didn't vote. And now you're bitching about what's happening in your state or what's happening in your city. How can you bitch when you don't vote? If you don't vote, you have nothing to talk about. You have nothing to say if you don't vote. You get your programs cut. You get this cut. You get the funding stops for your favorite, you know, agency or whatever. How can you bitch and talk and sulk when you didn't vote? And then sometimes people vote for their own vote against their own interests. Then some people will get so pissed off at Democrats, they'll go vote for a Republican, voting against their own interest. Okay, this is a dangerous level of executive overreach. That's a Republican. That's Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House. These are just blowhard-ass Republicans trying to scare you and me and Obama, especially Obama, not using his executive actions. That's all this is. Obama should completely, definitely use it. He should definitely use it, but Obama, he's scared so easily. He's scared so easily, and I'm reading this, and it seems as though he's being scared out of this, because now he's saying that his executive actions may not do much. I mean, why would you want to use your executive actions that may not do nothing? Why would you use it in the first place? Then don't use it. If it's not going to help anybody, if it's not going to curtail some of these gun sales, these straw purchases, then Obama, don't use your executive authority, because why? You're just wasting your time. If it's not going to do anything to try to prevent some of these killings, who gets guns? If it's not trying to keep guns out of the hands of the mentally ill, why do an action? It's crazy. I think Obama has been scared off by the Republicans. I will know that further on into this week. And if I think that he's going to do his executive action on gun control, and if I think it's going to do something to keep the guns out of the hands of bad people, I will be back on my show and I will apologize. But I have been around since Obama has been around, and he's talked about executive actions before, and nothing has gotten done. Now he's talking about executive actions for 2016, but the Republicans are bullying him. It seems like he's backing down. He's saying that they may not be enough to do anything about gun control. The administration unveiled Monday a series of proposals designed to shore up holes in the federal background check system for gun purchases. Devote millions of additional dollars to mentally health programs. Like I said, they've closed. It's closed. Obama wants to do executive actions to get things done on gun control. The Republicans are bullying him every step of the way. And Obama is not good. He is not good at handling bullies. Believe me. I understand your love for Obama. That's great. That's wonderful. But it's time for him to stand up for the people of America. It just is. It's time for him to stand up the people of America. All right, listen to George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. All righty, it's been great. I've had a great time. Thank you.
that we may see.
Right, they just told me I had 90 seconds left on the show. I really hope everybody who have listened to the show, download the show, podcast it, archive it. I really hope you enjoy it because it's always fun for me. It's always fun for me. I love doing a show, as you can tell probably by the sound of my voice. I love doing this show. And we're just about off the air. And I want to, they say 60 seconds now. Well, anyway, I had fun. I will be back on tomorrow from this day of the show, live show. It's Tuesday. Like I said before, I'm on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday now, 6 to 7:30, 6 to 8, 6 to 9. But the show starts at 6 promptly, okay? And I want to thank my guest, life coach, speaker, Kathy Blue Hayes. I think she was wonderful. Go check out her book at pattybluehayes.com. All right, we're out of here. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Bye-bye.